me. Today is July 24th, 2021. It is 6:50 p.m. My name is Ashley Tobolo, and I am interviewing Joseph Joseph. We are at Sweet Jenny's in Williamsville, enjoying some ice cream and now doing this interview. Joseph, this oral history is being recorded and will be included in a publicly accessible database. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, so what is your name and what are the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis? Like your job, extracurricular activities, etc.
My name is Joseph Daniel Joseph. I am a martial arts instructor. I spend most of my days training, cleaning up my school, preparing for teaching classes at night, and relaxing at home, I guess.
Okay. And do you have any extracurricular activities or hobbies outside of your job?
I do. I play board games every weekend, and I have a habit of 3D printing. And painting models that I print.
Great. And when you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it? And how have your thoughts changed since then?
I was actually in the beginning of the pandemic in Thailand. And I came home, and then 2 weeks later, the airport shut down. So I missed much of the initial kind of hype. I just kind of had the kind of the fear of, oh gosh, I was in an airport when this all went down. So I guess there's a bit of panic of my own personal safety and for my sister's safety and for my family, for my students, because I came right back, went right back to work, didn't think much of it, learned about the pandemic and COVID a couple days after I got back from Thailand. So there definitely was a bit of fear for there and a bit of preparation, I guess. I was prepared to do whatever I had to do.
And have your thoughts sort of changed since that initial panic?
No, I concern myself quite a bit with the well-being of others and my students and my family. So I don't want to say I've been on the edge or living in fear or anything like that, but I've definitely been careful. I've only very, very recently begun to, like, step away from mask wearing in public or anything like that when I'm outside. So I think for the most part I've remained careful and concerned with other people's safety in regards to my own actions. I don't want to endanger someone else because I'm being foolish.
And presumably COVID-19 affected your job. If so, in what ways?
Probably the worst year for my job, period, ever. Since I teach martial arts, that's a hand-to-hand, close-range fighting sport. A lot of what I did had to be radically, radically changed. We started teaching virtually, which was a challenge for everyone involved. I can't even say I had it harder than the students. Being on the other side of it, it also is just painful to try and learn something through a screen. So my job definitely has been changed. Even now that restrictions have been lifted, we're training back in person. Only very recently we returned to what is like a sense of normalcy a year and a half later, really. So a lot of things have drastically changed.
Did COVID-19 change your employment status at all during that time?
I was unemployed for a while, legally, but in order to keep my students, I continued to volunteer my time and teach at the school. Because I at the end of it all, I wanted to come back to a school. I didn't want to come back to an empty place. So it didn't really impact the fact I stopped working, just impacted the fact I stopped receiving the benefits of my job.
And what concerns do you have about the effects of COVID-19 on your employment or the economy more broadly?
The economy is a little bit more scary than my employment. If anything, it's made my employment feel more secure because I've learned that teaching online and learning online is not great for martial arts in general. So I feel a lot more secure about my job not being taken away by, you know, people trying to learn things on YouTube or people trying to learn things through like an audiobook or a program that's sold online. That I feel a lot safer about my job. Economically, though, I see, you know, I'm currently trying to buy a house. The market is completely backwards because of it. I like to do woodworking projects, and I can't justify going out and buying wood right now. So I think COVID-19 has scared me in the sense of like how fragile everything is with shipping or things like that. Just the economy's a mess right now, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the employment of people you know? And if so, in what ways?
Yes. I don't have a ton of social friends who are really hit hard by the pandemic. A lot of people that I know were either martial arts and they were in the same boat that I was in, or they worked jobs, they could work from home. It wasn't too devastating. My father, however, works in catering, and I know that he still has a very hard time getting employees. So I do see the negative side effects of COVID. Maybe not just COVID, maybe the unemployment benefits as well were not helpful, but COVID in general has not helped my father with his catering business at all.
Yeah, I would imagine that since so many events were canceled, there wasn't a lot to cater during that time.
It's not just that, it's people panicked. And they pulled their money out and they asked for refunds on their deposits. So my dad nearly went bankrupt in the middle of the pandemic because he had to shell out thousands and thousands of dollars for down payments for parties. And even now, you know, we're in, what's today, July 27th, July 28th, 24th, not even close. Even in July 24th, he still has next to no parties, even though this is the wedding season. He still has people considering pulling their deposits off for August and for September because of the potential new wave. It's definitely put a lot of people on pins and needles, and it's really stressed him and my family out.
And has COVID-19 affected you or your family's just day-to-day activities other than work?
I don't live with my family anymore. I'd say my life is dramatically changed in the beginning of the pandemic. My girlfriend moved in with me early on in it, and our bond definitely grew a lot closer. However, we didn't really have a set plan or schedule, so everything we kind of developed in quarantine. My father's schedule was dramatically changed as well since he had to let go most of his staff. I know he spent a lot more time at his business, back in the kitchen, as opposed to his usual management desk job. So that was a big difference for him. But.
And what have you and your friends done for recreation during COVID-19?
Can I go back to the previous question?
Yeah.
I didn't answer all of it.
Sorry.
I guess myself, because I'm part of my family, I guess.
You are.
I spent a lot of time. I spent less time on my feet. I used to, you know, go to the school, clean in the morning, train in the morning, go teach classes, and I was very active and very mobile before the pandemic. And during the pandemic, I spent a lot more time on my computer, answering emails, answering questions, watching students' videos. So myself personally, I spent a lot of time sitting, and that was a huge lifestyle change for me, is being more attached to my computer. And not in the fun ways, just out of necessity. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt that.
I'm sorry, what was the next question?
What have you and your friends done for recreation during COVID-19?
So, during the quarantine, when I was up to it, because I was so sick of my computer some days, my girlfriend and I and my friends and I can't remember exactly where this all sits, it's all been a blur this last year, I played a lot of video games with them. I spent time with people online to the best of my ability. I did spend a lot of time in quarantine, I didn't really see a lot of people during the time. when things got a little more relaxed, or with people I could trust, people I know were quarantined as well as I did, I still went out and played board games, and I still went out and would throw a frisbee around and be out in the sun a little bit. But for the most part, I spent a lot of this at home with my girlfriends, playing board games, playing video games, getting to know each other. Yeah, I didn't do a lot of social stuff. I was one of those people.
That's fine. And moving on to sort of a more community-oriented line of questioning, how has the COVID-19 outbreak affected your community?
Are we talking about my community of martial arts? Are we talking about my community of, like, everything?
However you'd like to define it.
I like to section things off quite a bit. I don't talk to my neighbors. I don't live in the best part of town, and my neighbors are just very different from me in general. So I didn't really see anything happening in my community. I know my webcams hours got changed and a lot more strict, but once the pandemic happened, I don't naturally trust a lot of people to look out for my well-being. So I spend a lot of time away from people, myself personally, in the area that I live in. And on the flip side, my martial art community, I think, came together a lot of ways. A lot of the students we kept, and a lot of the people that I stayed in contact with over the pandemic, are still going very strong in the school this day. So in some ways, I think it brought the community together. In a lot of ways, I think it tore the community apart. Thankfully, a lot of the stuff I've seen has been positive, even though I've heard of negative things through the news or different sources of information.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit more about how you see people pulling together, and also where you see them tearing apart?
Oh boy. I think it all depends on personal beliefs. There are definitely, some issues I've had with management in my association and even my employers, where they don't necessarily agree with how serious that I think the pandemic is. Early on in the pandemic, I lost a family member, a great aunt who was going strong and then was just one day gone. And I lost a couple of close friends. They lost a couple people, so it kind of gave me a little shell shock, I guess. So when I, initially met with people who had differing opinions, I was one of the ones that just, I didn't want to put up with it. I didn't want to deal with it. And I saw that happening quite a bit, of people who didn't believe in the virus, believe it was a hoax, believe that the masks weren't important, the vaccines weren't important, whatever. I see that was tearing people apart. But at the same time, a lot of, positive things as well, of people doing things together, providing relief. As I said, I was in the 3D printing community, and during the beginning of the pandemic, even though, the supply chain was all messed up, a lot of people went out of their way to buy extra filaments, to produce things for hospital workers, to produce the face shields, to produce mass extenders to give people a break on their ears instead of just having strings in their ears all day. There's, communities and people who cheaply produce parts for, I'm at a loss for words here, intubator, what's it called?
The ventilator?
Yeah, people are producing parts for the ventilators. So that was really cool to see worldwide, at least in the 3D printing community sense, chipping in and sending things to the hospitals and supporting our hospital workers during that time. That was cool to see.
So were these people in this 3D printing community, were they like specialized individuals making these parts, or were they just like normal people who got the plans and used their printers?
Totally random tangent then. 3D printing community has definitely grown because, 3D printing is becoming more accessible to people in general, households, because it's cheaper. A lot of people, including myself, I got into this change for a little bit. We would download a plan from online and then print the plan and then take it to a hospital, and that was the end of it. We didn't have to design anything. I'm not specialized in 3D printing whatsoever. I know enough to follow instructions, I guess, and much smarter people than I produced the plan in the best ways they could, and the cheapest ways they could, and the quickest ways, most resource wise, I guess.
I don't know,
resource efficient, that's the correct words. And it was cool to be part of a community that did something like that. I felt like, you know, in the middle of something where I was pretty much powerless other than staying home, I could at least help the people that are out there dealing with it.
That's really cool.
It was really super cool.
In what ways do you think that COVID-19 is affecting people's mental and or physical health?
I know working with kids a lot, working with adults a lot, and talking to a lot of people, this is my job. You know, I saw, you know, kids, definitely there was a rise in depression and anxiety and loneliness in a lot of kids. I used to have kids who would try and stand in line with me after classes for 15, 20, 30 minutes to talk, because otherwise they didn't really have a lot to talk to. So I definitely think there was a big rise in mental, I don't say problems, that's not the right word either, but just issues for people. You know, we are social creatures by nature, and when you remove everything like that, I think it hurts even introverts sometimes when it's completely removed.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
Just to be clear, what are the ages primarily of the children that, you said adults too, but of the children that you are dealing with?
Yeah, so I typically, you know, I don't hear this from 3 to 5 year olds. You know, 3 to 5 year olds, I don't think quite grasp the severity sometimes of what was going on. I think they just listened to what they were told. But older ones that definitely had more established friends, or they're used to seeing their friends in classes every day, they were the ones that were more open to me, at least, about the challenges they were facing. So ages probably like 6 or 7 to maybe like 15 was usually my wheelhouse of who I talked to. With some teenagers, you know, some of my long-term students who are, you know, in their 20s, they definitely as well were approaching me about this. The adults, I kind of heard through the grapevine. I very rarely talked to an adult about how they were doing. As I did not have a close relationship with some of the adults that also train in my school. But I definitely do know that 20 to like 8 range, they had a hard time in some cases.
And was that difficult for you trying to provide them with counsel when you're struggling with some of the same issues yourself? Or did that help you?
Thankfully, you know, Jeanine, my girlfriend, she was around, and if I was trapped at home alone, because I live by myself, it was just me and my very vocal cat, I would have gone slightly crazy. And she kind of kept me a little more grounded, I think. And then my friends online were definitely there to provide me with another voice other than my own. So I think I did better than some of the kids who might not have as many friends or as many of the resources that I have to reach out to people, you know, not having a phone or anything like that. But I definitely do think... it was a bit of a challenge. I struggled. I wasn't perfect. You know, I definitely had moments of weaknesses. And there are moments where I think this is where, you know, we also tie back to, like, my community tying itself together again. We kind of suffered together a little bit, you know? And it definitely gave us a bonding moment, you know? We come back now and we talk about, you know, these white belts or yellow belts who are going to have no idea. The brand beginner newers, beginners, that's the correct word. They're going to have no idea what it's like to learn online and how much that just was terrible. It was just the worst. So it was good and bad. We definitely had something to bond over.
You mentioned your very vocal cat.
Yeah.
How do you think she did during the pandemic? You said your girlfriend moved in, so that must have been new for her.
Wendy, which is my cat's name, liked Jeanine from the get-go. So I never really had a problem with Jeanine and Wendy in the same place. Wendy got very, very comfortable having us around all the time, which then when I went back to work, she liked less. She got more vocal, and my cat is prone to anxiety. She's an old feral street cat. I was in the shelter for a very, very long time. Went to a couple foster homes. They didn't like her. They sent her back. When I go on vacations for more than, you know, 3 days at a time, she has, like, physical, like, adverse effects. Where, you know, her eyes will swell and begin to water. She'll have pus forming in one of her eyes and begin to swell and close completely. So she got really comfortable. She just got used to me being around for almost all hours of the day. When I went to go back to work and I was in the school frequently for hours and hours at a time, she definitely began to show some of those effects. But for the most part, I mean, Wendy's a cat, and as long as her meals got to her on time, she was okay.
Poor Wendy.
Should be okay.
Do you have any thoughts on how local, state, and or federal leaders have responded to the crisis?
I mean, this is a tough one, because you'll hear like a bajillion different news sources saying different things and claiming different things. I think things were politicized too much, if I'm speaking freely. I think you know, you should trust the science. Science kept people alive for a lot longer than we'll be around. I think, not pointing fingers there, but I think leaders in this country and this community could have done better supporting the doctors and scientists that came to the conclusions that we needed masks and we needed vaccines and we needed quarantine and social distancing.
Are you saying on a federal level or a state level or all of both?
You see it both ways. You know, obviously we had a big, huge problem with the last presidential election and comments like that. You've seen a big, huge problem with that, with even things like our, gosh, I don't know his title, governor?
Governor.
Cuomo?
Yeah. Governor.
Our governor. I don't know if I'm allowed to say names here, so I'm just keeping it real kosher.
You are definitely allowed to say names.
I think our governor, you know, he didn't start off the strongest. I think he had a lot of good things in the middle of it, but I don't agree with everything he did. And unfortunately, as a, quoting finger quotes here, leader in my small little school, I'm a big believer in leading by example, and a big believer in, like, if you're going to ask them to do it yourself. And I don't think that was really well done by political figures at this point in time. Did that answer the question?
It did answer the question.
I was trying not to rag on anyone too much.
Backing up a little to the beginning of what you were saying, you were talking about like news sources. What were your primary sources of news?
So as embarrassing as it is, my primary source of news were things that Google sent me, Reddit, which is not a good news source at all. Definitely not. It's very. It depends which side of Reddit you're on, but you can be very conservative, very liberal, atheist, religious. Like it's a mess on Reddit. So definitely learned a lot of stuff there and saw a lot of conflicting views, which was I think you know, conflicting views is always great. Because if you just listen to one side of a story, you never get the full picture. I did learn to dislike the typical news sources, as they tend to be very leaning one way. And I've learned early on in this, like, there's definitely like a shock culture in the world right now, where the headline that gets you to turn your head the quickest or gets you to click the quickest is the one that they choose. And I've definitely clicked on a bunch of, again, finger quotes here, news sources, where after reading the article doesn't even relate to the headline. So between, you know, Reddit and, like, news that I was, like, reading news websites, and then the radio, those were my major ones, for sure. But a little bit of everywhere. Thankfully, Reddit is a lot of different places kind of coming together, so I think it's a pretty diverse pool. But it is just Reddit, so.
And just sort of wrapping up everything here, has your experience during this pandemic transformed how you think about your family or friends or community? And if so, in what ways?
Again, very positive, very negative things that happened after this pandemic. I grew closer to some people. I grew way closer to Janine. Faster than I think I ever would have grown closer to her. My family and I, you know, I learned some stuff about my family that I necessarily didn't want to learn. I learned some things about my employees and coworkers and people in general that I didn't quite care to learn. And you know, in some ways it's good, some ways it's bad, I think. I don't associate with some people now after seeing how they handled this pandemic, for sure. I just straight up cuts people out. I'm a pretty big believer in caring about the people next to you and supporting people next to you. I don't think it's okay for you to lift yourself up to push people down, or, you know, push people down to lift yourself up, however you want to word it. So it's a tough question. What do we got on this one right here? I gotta reread it because my brain is rambling.
It's transformed quite a things.
I'm disappointed in a lot of people, I think. I'm disappointed in a lot of the community, a lot of people, and how we as a community are not getting together. And, you know, overarching USA, North to South, Republican, Democrat, that's such a huge political divide now. I'm really disappointed at how everyone's kind of like handling themselves in this. And no one's free. No one's been perfect. It's just, I think mostly I'm just disappointed.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
And my final question for you is, knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
I think, oh boy, I've been doing this for a while. Huh, I'm doing good. education. I think educating people. I think, and unfortunately, it's such a huge societal problem. Like, it's never going to be solved unless some huge major reforms happen. There needs to be, I don't even know where to start. Like, there needs to be reform. Like, news sources not trying just to get views and clicks and likes, and that won't happen because that's how they make their money. You know, it's how they sell their stuff. But the misinformation's crazy. People not educating themselves is crazy. This whole pandemic, if I didn't read something, Janine read something and told me about it, and she is huge on researching things. So I learned so much about not pandemics in general, but the virus and vaccines and, there's a stock market crash. I learned about the stock market in the middle of all this. It wasn't a crash. It was the GME thing, the GameStop thing. I learned so much about it that I had to go and research myself. And I wish other people, and I wish people in general, would just remember to go and do some research. Like, don't trust anyone to think for you. Don't trust people to, know what's best for you or know what's best to put in your body or whatever. I think that was my big wake-up call is, I think education needs to come back to being a forefront in America. Because I just felt like people are making informed, dumb decisions and not really knowing things. Even my bosses, again, are very smart people. They were so into conspiracy about vaccines, and I just wanted to, I wanted to grab them by the shoulders and shake them and be like, that's not how vaccines work. Like, that's not what they're designed to do. So I think, education, working on the younger generation, I think that stuff's really, really important for this.
Well, thank you so much, Joseph, for your interview, for contributing to the archive. It is greatly appreciated.
My pleasure. I hope I didn't ramble too much.
No, it was great. So have a wonderful day and stay safe.
Thank you. You too.